Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful picture of your Son as we find him, dear God, in this letter. And I pray, Lord, that we would see him in that light this morning. And Lord, I pray, please, that you would deal very personally and very specifically with each and every one of us. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. So, Lord, may we be open and tender and listening to your still small voice, dear God, in our lives as we listen to the word of God preached. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Do you hear the knocking? Do you hear the knocking? I have only told the story I'm going to tell maybe two or three times in my life. To be honest with you, it's not a story that I probably ought to tell a lot, because I think it sheds a certain light of uncertainty upon your pastor that I don't really enjoy. But I will say this, anybody that's in the ministry for very long, there is going to be at least a handful of times in that experience where you're going to lose it. You're just going to lose it, okay? And the ministry, and my girls bought me a shirt one time when I was growing up, when they were in the house and for birthday, and it says, "You don't have to be crazy to work here, they'll train you." And they gave me that shirt. I don't know what that had to do. Maybe their perspective as preacher's kids and what the ministry was doing to their father, I don't know what that meant. But years ago, when I was in my training years, going to Bible college and on weekends working inner city ministries in Chicago, we ran a bus route just like we run buses here, and went out soul winning on Saturday and tried to win people to Christ, invite them to church, pick them up on Sundays, bring them, transport them back and forth to church. Now, let me tell you something about inner city people and inner city kids and teenagers in particular. They are a bunch of liars. Which means they'd promise that they're going to come to church on Sunday, and then guess what? They wouldn't come to church. Can you believe those people? I mean, the only worse bunch of liars than I know than the inner city kids is the Greene County and Sullivan County people that promise every week they're coming to church and lie, lie, liar, liar, pants on fire. They'll tell you they're coming to church, and then they won't show up. Come on, people, you've been there. I've had people come in, "Preacher, my neighbors are coming today. They're coming today." They stand at the back door and watch and watch and watch. Nobody shows up, you know. But I was having a particularly rough time. Bus captains, you'll understand this, where it just seems like, man, I'm working harder than I've ever worked. I just had this thing where I didn't want to bring in an empty bus. I just felt like if God's money was being spent, and you know what, we could seat so many, we ought to fill it up. And I still believe that today. And I just wanted a full bus. I wanted to bring people. I wanted to get as many people to church as possible. But I was going through this time where we were struggling. Our attendance was down. And it just seems like, man, I'd go home on Saturday night and I'd have the promises. People promised to come. And I'd run my bus on a Sunday morning. They'd either not come to the door or come to the door with some excuse about why they couldn't come. And it's just like I was going through this time where it's just, and it was really irritating me. I mean, I was getting in the flesh about it. And this was going on for about a month, and I visited this one young lady that had promised me for 4 weeks in a row she was coming to church and didn't come. And her name was Nellie. And so I remember I went and seen her on Saturday. I said, "Nellie, you keep promising." And I said, "Don't tell me you're going to come if you're not. I'd rather you tell me the truth." And, "Well, no, I'm going to come tomorrow, preacher. I'm I said, now, you know, so you're going to come tomorrow? Yes. So I'm going to pull up and you're going to come? Yes. And I said, all right, you're promising me? Yes. All right, okay, I'll see you in the morning? Yes. And so, you know, I went around the route and was picking people up, and it just seemed like every door it was the same thing. I mean, I had the promises, Brother Levi. I looked like I was going to have a good day, and I was, the whole morning was going down the tubes. I mean, and so it was kind of building in me, you know. And you got to remember, folks, I was young and, not as mature in Christ as I am today and finding my way. And but it was just, it was building on me. So I pulled up in front of this young lady's house, and 4 weeks in a row she's promised me. And it was kind of an unusual situation, the way the house was situated. There was a two-story house there, and it had an entrance, and then it was like two separate apartments. Well, the mom and dad and the younger children lived down on the first floor, and you could walk in and knock on that door. You could walk upstairs and knock, almost like two apartments with an outdoor entrance, and the teenagers all stayed upstairs. They had several teenagers, and that's where Nellie was. So I went up there and I started knocking on the door, and I knock on the door, and nobody comes to the door. I've done this for how many weeks in a row? And I don't mean they didn't come to the door and say we're not coming. They just would ignore me, and so I'm up there, and all this has been building for weeks, and I've had a terrible morning, and everybody's telling me they're not coming, and I start knocking on this door, and nobody will come to the door, and I know they're in there. I mean, I know they're in there. And then I don't know what exactly happened to this day, but like something snapped, you know. It was just like, you know what? Someone's going to answer this door. They are going to answer this door. And so I started saying, Nellie, you're in there. And you remember this? Hey, it's Brother Jerry. Remember, you promised me you're coming to church. Hey, I'm here. Answer the door. And you know what? They wouldn't answer the door. And I knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked, and they wouldn't answer the door. And then the bus driver came in and said, I'm the bus captain. He comes kind of to the door. I've been in there for 5 minutes, you know. And he comes in and he opens the door downstairs. And he said, hey, Brother Jerry, we got to go. And I'm like, no, we ain't going. I said, they're coming to church this morning. Nellie's coming to church this morning. She promised me. I'll make sure she hears this. I'm going to stay here. I may die here one day. I may die of old age right here. But I am not leaving this spot until she opens the door and comes to church. You say, that's crazy. I know, like I said, I just like lost it, you know. And so I just kept knocking. I kept knocking. The bus driver comes back, says, it goes like this. And I said, go pick the rest of the route up and come back. And so he went and picked the rest of the route up. And I'm still up there. And I'm just, you know, Nellie, it's Brother Jerry. You know, the guy you promised that you were going to come to church. And I wouldn't quit. I absolutely had made up my mind. I was not going to leave that door until that girl come to the door. And so I'm knocking. And I said, the bus is going to come back. And you know what? It has to go to church. But guess what? If you're not on it, I'm not on it. I'm staying here all day. I'm staying here all day. And then at this point, I don't know where, you know, when you kind of go over into insanity. And then it gets funny, you know, it kind of gets funny. So I don't know why I did this, but I've tried everything. I've tried telling her name. I've quoted her verses. I've gotten mad. I've gotten glad. And I'm getting kind of, you know, and so I start singing, my Nellie flies over the ocean. My Nellie flies over the sea. My Nellie flies over the, I mean, out there. So bring back my Nellie to me. Bring back. Now, I don't know that this is happening, but inside, all of the teenagers, because you got several brothers and sisters, they all got their pillows over their head like this. Now they're getting mad at her, and they're saying, Nellie, go into the door. And she's like, no, he's crazy. You go into the door. We're not going to get any sleep. You promised him. We didn't promise. You promised. I'm not going to go. And they're doing this. And I mean, this is going on for 15 minutes. And this is going on for 20 minutes. And the bus is picking up the whole rest of the route. And then they're going to come back. And finally, after I don't know how long, maybe 20, 25 minutes of me knocking and singing. And, you know, I like lost my mind, you know. But I've decided I am not going to stop knocking until she comes to the door. And finally, I'll never forget, she came to the door. She had the blanket over her head like this, you know, wrapped up like this. She comes over finally, and she opens the door like this, and she says, what? She says, what? I said, good morning. It's so good to see you. I know you probably forgot what you told me yesterday about promising me you're going to come to church, but I just wanted to make sure you kept your promise. So are you going to get ready to go? Yes. Good, because I'm going to be right here until you get ready. She went in, she came back out, she'd gotten dressed, her hair was sticking up, she was mad, she stomped down the stairs in front of me, the bus pulls back up, comes out, my bus driver's like, he's lost his mind. I'm like, yeah, came to church. So when I read this story about Jesus persistently knocking, I guess I've got a little bit of a reference point on that. And you know what? Aren't you glad? Let's say, preacher, why did you do that? Because honestly, well, yeah, I went crazy. But honestly, you know what? I cared about those kids. I cared about those kids. You say, did she promise you the next week she would come? No, she never promised me ever again that she'd come. You know, it's interesting, though. The next week, her older sister's name was Annabella. And the next Sunday, the next Saturday, I went to the house and knocked on the door to see if they'd come to church. And the older sister answered the door, and I said, is Nellie here? Because I never met the older sister. She said, yes, but she does not want to talk to you. And then I said, I'm just shocked. Why? And she's like, look at me. And then I said, well, okay, you tell her I'll be back next week, and I'll visit her next week. And then I started to walk away, and the older sister said, Brother Jerry, she knew my name because Nellie, Brother Jerry, and I turned around. She says, why did you do that? And I mean, she's serious. Why did you do that? Do what? She said, I was laying in here with my pillow over my head, laughing. I'm thinking, who is this guy? Why did you do that? And I said, because I know Nellie doesn't understand it yet. And a lot of people don't in Chicago, but I said, there's only one way, one thing that's going to keep the folks in this neighborhood from ending up one of these days going to a devil's hell. And that's that church bus that's parked out there. And I said, just trying to get people to Jesus. And she said, I kept thinking, wow, who does that? Who does that? And then I started to leave again. I said, well, I hope you'll come sometime. And I started walking down the steps. And she said, Pastor, or Brother Jerry. I said, yes. She said, I'm going to come tomorrow. And she came. And by the way, she was waiting out on the street. She knew. She came Sunday night. She came the next Sunday. She came Sunday night. She came the next Sunday. She came back on the bus after the third Sunday and said, hey, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior today. By the way, kept coming to church. And finally, graduated from high school, went on to Bible college, ended up in Bible college, amen? So even though it was insanity, it was worth it, folks. What about Nellie? I don't know. Last I heard, she had a contract out on my life. But Annabella, at least. Listen, folks, do you hear the knocking? Somewhere along this sermon, I think both sinner and saint, I think both lost and saved, if you'll listen, you might hear some knocking. Aren't you glad that you have a Savior that loves you enough that He's persistent and will be persistent? You know, why does it, preacher, that God just won't seem to leave me alone? Because He loves you. Amen. Why does it seem like when I go through life, this comes up and that comes up and this comes up and God sends this person and God sends that person? And by the way, bus workers, keep up the good work and just keep going back. You know what? Every time you hear a no, you're just one week closer to a yes. I mean, that's the mentality you got to have. Just don't give up on people. You know why? Because Jesus never gave up on you. Amen. He never gave up on me. Here we have a picture of Jesus standing at a door and He's knocking. And I want to say this, even though I don't think that the context of the scriptures, this is the major teaching, but I just got to stop and say this because it's true. You know what? Jesus relentlessly knocks at the door of lost sinners, knocks at the door of lost people, trying to get them to open the door and be saved. Now, why would He be that persistent? Why is it that Jesus just won't give up on somebody? And by the way, you may be here without the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you something. There's the sweet third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, and I promise you, his job in life is to come and come and come and convict and convince and try to bring you a step closer and a step closer and a step. And you know what? You ought to be glad that God won't give up on you today. Preacher, I've been here and I've heard the gospel before. Well, thank God you're here again. And you know what? I think if you listen, you're going to hear some knocking going on this morning. Why is it that Jesus keeps knocking at the door of lost sinners, keeps pursuing? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He doesn't just save you. He'll seek you. He searches you out. He brings things into your life. He brings people into your life. He gets you in an old-fashioned Bible preaching church like the one you're in today. One more time. You know why? Because God loves you and he's not going to give up on you. Why is it that Jesus keeps knocking at the door of a lost person's heart? Because Jesus understands the great need that we have. Sometimes we don't understand it ourselves, but we as men have a problem. It's called sin. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and even all liars. By the way, that's all of us. Let God be true and every man a liar. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 1 John 1:8 says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. You know what Jesus sees about us that sometimes we have a hard time seeing for a while is our desperate need of salvation because of the sinfulness of our life. And Jesus understands that this is the magnitude of the decision and the peril that we live in. And folks, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you're one heartbeat away from hell. And that's why Jesus just stands there and knocks and knocks and knocks and comes again and comes again and comes again. You know why? Because he loves you and he came to die for your sin. Listen, you know why Jesus won't stop knocking? Because of the great need of man, because of the great love of Jesus Christ, the great love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, you may not understand this, but from the moment you were born, the Savior has been pursuing you. And you know what? He wants to give you a gift, the gift of eternal life, and he's going to come and seek you again and again. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. And I'm not saying that it's impossible for you to end up in hell, but I'm saying this, you're going to have to walk past the love of God 1,000 times to end up in hell. Because God's going to do everything he can to get the gospel to you. And he's going to come and he's going to knock and he's going to knock. Why? Because you have a great need. We're all sinners. Why? Because he has great love. Why? Because of the great reality of eternity. Folks, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I thank God when I was a young boy, I went into an old-fashioned Baptist church with a man that opened the Bible and preached it shotgun straight and spoke of sin and spoke of eternity and described heaven in such a way I wanted to go there and described hell so clearly that I wanted to escape it. And finally, through all of that, I came to the day where I got saved in that little Baptist church. I think maybe for somebody today, that today ought to be the day that you get saved. And Jesus has come. If you think about it, this isn't the first time he's knocked at your heart's door. He keeps coming again and again because he loves you. And you know what? He keeps knocking because, see, every time he knocks, you have to make some kind of a decision. When I was standing up and knocking on that door, you know what? They had to make a decision. And they could have just put their pillows over their head. And you know what? Spiritually speaking, that's what a lot of people in America are doing. They're just taking the pillow of their sin and the pillow of their carnality, and they're trying to shut out the voice and the knocking of Almighty God. Hey, they go out and they get high on drugs so they don't have to hear the knocking. they seek pleasure in booze and live the drunken party life so they can not hear the knocking. But you know what? Sooner or later, they got to wake up again. And guess what? Here comes the knocking again. Here comes the knocking again. Why does God do that? Because he loves you. And you know what? Every time he knocks, it makes you have to make a decision. You'll either ignore the knocking or you'll get up and you'll open the door. And you know what Jesus said? He says this, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And there's nothing greater than being saved. And everybody in here that's truly received Jesus Christ as their Savior, you're thinking back right now to the day when you finally said, okay, Lord, and you opened the door and Jesus came in and he saved your soul and you've never been the same since then. It's a lot easier to live this life with Jesus in your heart than it is to try to do it on your own, amen. But let me say also, folks, that it's just not lost people, it's just not sinners that hear the knocking. Sometimes, folks, us as saints, God needs to come knocking again in our lives. Come on now. Preacher, I know that I've been born again. Well, let me remind you of something. In the context of the scripture that we've written, this letter is not written to lost people. It's written to the church. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. The end of this letter does not end to verse number 22. So verse 20 is in this letter. This is written to Christians. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How in the world did Jesus get back outside of the door of a saved person's life? Why is he having to come back and knock again? You know why? Jesus is at the outside. By the way, let's get the answer from the scriptures. Amen. We're a Bible preaching church. Let's go to the Word of God. Why is it that Jesus had to come knocking? I'll tell you why. Because they had become lukewarm. In verse number 15, I know thy works. Let's stop right there. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you know what? God knows my works and he knows your works and he knows the works of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And he knows the condition of our heart. And a lot of times, folks, our works reveal the condition of our heart. And so he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Listen, let me ask you something. Is there any time as a born-again Christian that you have ever been more on fire for the Lord than you are today? And if there is, then let me just suggest this to you, and I mean this in all kindness, but let me just suggest this to you. You've been cooling off then. You know what? God's not satisfied with lukewarm Christianity. Well, preacher, I come to church on Sunday and I ride the bus and, you know, I listen, but man, when I'm out in school, you know, I'm kind of, hey, wait a minute. That's lukewarm Christianity. Preacher, when I can work it out and occasionally I come in and, hey, wait, that's lukewarm Christianity. And now what I'm saying is this, folks, good night. I mean, if we're going to live for the Lord, let's get red hot and let's do it right. The people that are excited about the Lord, that's not the ones that we have a problem with. Sometimes you get young people, get on fire for God, and it just makes the rest of the congregation nervous. It's almost like parents sometimes and adults look at me kind of like, well, what are you going to do to cool these kids off? Good night. I'm not trying to cool them off. I'm the one chucking the wood and the coal on the fire. I'm throwing gas bombs. I want to see some explosions happen around here. Amen. See, if we're not careful, we decide that normal Christianity is lukewarm Christianity. Listen, folks, if lukewarm Christianity was going to turn this world to Jesus Christ and bring revival, we'd already have it. And the reason we're not having it is because we've cooled off. Come on, let's let the Lord. Hey, wait a minute. You starting to hear that knocking? Come on. Are you a little backslidden? Or have you dropped off on your attendance, your church attendance a little bit? Have you all of a sudden, now the Bible that you used to read and it used to be important with you, have you kind of let that book lay a little bit? You know, you used to be diligent about your prayer life and you let it cool off a little bit? Used to carry some gospel tracts and have a real concern for lost souls, but that's cooled off a little bit. Hey, what's happening here today? God sent your preacher to the pulpit to say, hey, you need to listen, because I think if you listen, you hear a little knocking going on. I'm so glad that God is faithful. Did you see how Jesus introduced himself when he wrote this letter in verse 14? And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen. You know what? That's interesting. You know, every letter, Jesus introduces himself the way he does for a certain reason to every church, and it's always a little different. Why did he say to the church of Laodicea that's cooled off, by the way, my name's Amen? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because it's a good thing to say amen in church every once in a while. Maybe a good indication that we're cooling off a little bit is there's just not much response to the preaching of God's word anymore, either verbally or at the end of it, during an invitation. Listen, if you're not responding to the word of God, you're cooled off. You've cooled off. Amen. Watch this. The faithful and true witness. Now, I've got to say this. And folks, I wish I could give you a different testimony. I can't. I have not always been as faithful to the Lord as I should have been, but he's always been faithful. He's always been. And you know what that knocking sound is? Christian, I'm talking to Christians right now. You know, we wanted the lost person to hear what I said a minute ago. I hope you did anyway. If they're lost, you want them to hear the knocking. You want them to open the door. Well, you know what? If we as Christians aren't willing to open the door when we hear the knocking, don't expect a lost person to open the door when they hear the knocking. And thank God, all through my Christian life, God, Jesus Christ has come back at different times in my life, started knocking again. I said, well, Lord, what do you want? And you know what? He said, I'm going to tell you what I want. You know what? You used to be hot. Now you're lukewarm. That's what I want. I need you back the way you were. I need you back excited about the things of the Lord. And so why did Jesus knock at the door of the church? Because of the spiritual condition of the church, lukewarmness, because of the materialistic delusions of the church. Look at verse 17. Prosperity has blinded the American Christian to the true condition of our churches. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And folks, this is a direct rebuttal against prosperity preaching. This whole idea that Americans think that because we are prosperous that we're right. But you know what? You can have all the materialistic things in the world and be, what's the Bible say? Wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked spiritually. And you know what? I watched this. Come on. We're studying. We're studying through the Old Testament, the books of the Bible. What's Israel do? Okay, they obey the Bible, and because of that, God blesses them. They take the blessings of God, and during times of prosperity and peace, they start backsliding. Yes, and you know what? We're a mess. It seems like when things are going good, we figure we don't need God. Yes, and you know what? America, things are going pretty good, so we feel like we don't need God. And you know what Jesus said? He said, see that rich man? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, why would he say something like that? You know why? Because of the tendency that we have, that the more that we have, the less we think we need God. If you don't believe that, you pick out the nicest neighborhood in Terre Haute or Indianapolis, multi-million dollar homes, and go knocking on doors and try to tell them about their need of Jesus Christ. You'll find out Jesus hit the nail on the head. And when Jesus says something, he's always right. Amen? All right, what I'm saying is this. Come on, Christians. People will come to the church. This has happened so much, Brother Jeff. People will come to the church because, you know what, their life's a shambles. They'll get saved, and they'll start coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they'll start having family devotions, and they'll start getting their, and then, you know what, because of that, God will start blessing, and all of a sudden, things start working out again, and you know, and then as soon as they get a job, and they get about that fourth or fifth paycheck, I can't find them in church anymore. Come on now. What brought you to God? What level did God get you down to before you start saying, I better get back in church? But now that you're back in church and God begins to fix some things and help you, now you're going to turn your back on God? Are you serious? That don't make any sense to me. I mean, that story that I've just told, Brother Tom, you've been in this church a long time. I've seen that story 100 times if I've seen it once in this church. They come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, their life's a mess. We help them, we get them back on track. A marriage is fixed, children are reclaimed. And you know what? All of a sudden they understand the principles of work. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat.
And they start getting out when many of our men have even stuck their necks out and help them get jobs and give them recommendations. And you know what? Because they're faithful to church and they get a little bit and they go down the road a little bit and things start getting a little better. And all of a sudden, boy, next thing you know, where are they at? Where are they at? What I'm saying is, you know what? America is blinded by materialism. My dad used to say that materialism is the religion of America, and it is. We say that we're rich. We say we're increased in goods. We say we have need of nothing. But good night spiritually, we're bankrupt. So Jesus knocks at the door because of our spiritual condition. He knocks at the door of a Christian because of our materialistic delusions. And he knocks at the door of a Christian because of our need for true revival. Look, notice what he says in chapter 3, verse number 18. I counsel thee. Okay, stop. Who's speaking here? Isn't this Jesus? So Jesus is going to give us some counsel. If you're lukewarm, he's going to give you some counsel. If you have this idea that you don't need nothing, you're self-sufficient, you can do without God, he's going to give you some counsel. Here's what it is. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, why don't you come to me and let me tell you what is really valuable in this life? You've chased the world's gold. Why don't you come and ask me what's truly valuable in life? Hey, my Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. All that we're chasing and all the things we think, if we just get enough stuff, we'll finally be happy. And we chase that. And the more we have, the more miserable we are. Jesus said, come to me. And let me give you gold that's tried in fire, that thou mayest be truly rich. He says, come back to me and help me to give you some things that are truly precious. Number two, he says, let me, you know what we need to get back to? Get back to practical holiness. He's going to give you some counsel. Get back to proven precious things. Get back to practical holiness and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. And folks, listen to me. Come on now. You're not going to hear, I'll just tell you, if you're visiting here or you haven't been here very much, you're not going to hear this kind of preaching in most churches in Green Sullivan County. I'm just telling you, because people are afraid to talk about holiness. You know what Jesus said that their problem was? They need to find some white raiment and put it on. Now you can sit there and you can make up your mind that you believe that you can have a foot in the world and a foot in the church. And you know what? You can live a Christian life and still be involved in worldliness and sin, and that's okay in God's eyes, but it's not. And we need a revival of holiness. Isn't it interesting that God said, I'm gonna have you change your raiment. I'm going to have you put on something that's clean and white. You know, I talked to a young lady yesterday, and you know what? I don't think she was saved, and tried to witness to her, and she was talking about how, you know, she had some things in her life that she didn't want to confess the sin, and she didn't want to change. And she said, well, I thought Jesus take you the way you are. I said, he will take you the way you are. He will save you where you're at, but he will not let you stay where you're at. And I said, folks, here's the thing we got to understand. I don't understand people flocking to churches that have this mentality. Come in as you are, leave as you were, no change. My Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become. If you don't believe that, then go to 1 Corinthians, find that page, and rip it out of your Bible, I guess. But I'm not going to rip it out of my Bible. And man alive, when God saves you, you know what he's going to begin to do? Change you. That's normal Christianity. And she said, well, I do this, and I do this, and I do this. And I said, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I said, the goal after you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior is to begin to become like Jesus Christ. Did I misspeak? Okay, so I said, and I won't go into all the things, but she said, this. I said, would Jesus do that? If he was here today, would he do that? Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus do that? So you know what? Once you get, yeah, you can come just the way you are. We sing just as I am. You can come just the way you are. And you know what? You can receive by grace through faith salvation. But after you get saved, you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is going to start working in your life. And try to get you to change into the image of Christ. And folks, that's what the Christian life is all about. Okay? Well, I just don't see anything wrong. Would Jesus do it? Well, preacher, I listen to this music. Would Jesus listen to that music? No. Well, I've got this movie playing on my DVD player. Would Jesus watch that movie? Well, I go to the bar. Would Jesus do that? No. Now, you better be careful. You better be careful what you accuse Jesus of. and what you tell me Jesus would or wouldn't do. He is the holy, precious Son of God. Okay, so don't try to drag him through the mud because you want mud to be white. And what I'm saying is this, folks, good. No, I believe, Brother Chad, that if we could see with spiritual eyes and drove by every church in these two counties, I think the vast majority of them, Jesus is not on the inside. He's standing outside the front door trying to get back in because you know what? They don't want the precious, pure, holy one to come in and change their life. They want to have their little rock and roll service. Bring the devil's music into the church house. I want to have a bunch of women up here and a worship and praise team prancing around immodestly. That's good night. That's what the children of Israel did when Moses was up on the mount under the direction of Aaron when they were dancing around the golden calf. That's exactly what's going on in churches all over this county because you got to give the people what they want. No, you give them what God wants them to have. And so, come on now, what I'm saying is Jesus has come today and said, man, the church needs revival. There's some things that are precious, gold tried in fire. There's things that are holy, white raiment. And then he says this, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And you know what? We need to, as a church, get our vision back for a lost and dying world. And so Jesus is not satisfied. He comes when you're lost and he knocks on the door. And he keeps knocking and keeps knocking and keeps knocking. And then you get saved, amen. And it's a wonderful thing. But you know what? After you're saved, you come to church and you hear preaching and all of a sudden you start hearing this again. Because see, here's how I picture it and we'll close with this. It's kind of like this when you're saved. All right? Jesus is outside and he's knocking. And he wants to come in. He wants to save you. So what we do is we exercise faith and we receive Jesus as our Savior and he steps in and we embrace him as Savior. And we're in our living room. Are you pictured? We're in the, okay. And then Jesus goes over to another door. Whoa, where are you going? Well, what's in here? Just come back here, Jesus. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. Well, what's behind that door over there? Nothing. See, watch this, folks. You know what? Jesus will not be satisfied till we've opened every door and let him inspect everything. Yes. And whatever he points at and says, that don't belong in the life of a Christian. You need to get rid of that. Amen. We're willing to get rid of it. Right. Come on, does this make sense to you? Right. And so if you want to look at the whole process of the Christian life, I mean, God just kind of goes from room to room. And when all the rooms are, well, right, we've let him in all the rooms, then he goes over and says, what's in that closet? Oh, well, I gave you all the rooms. Yeah, but what's in that closet? He goes over and starts knocking on the closet door. Well, Lord, I mean, look at all that I've given you. And he's just standing there knocking at the closet door. You say, preacher, come on. What's Jesus want? Everything? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. What was he willing to give for you? Everything. What was he willing to give for me? Everything. So why should I think that he's not entitled to everything? And so I finally open the closet door and he looks in. And up on the shelf of the closet, there's a little box. And he says, what's in that box? That's just something. And he goes up, knock, 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 knock. That's been going on in Jerry Ross's life. Folks, I'm going to turn 55 this year. I got saved when I was 5. That's been going on in my life for almost 50 years, and I hope Jesus never stops knocking. Because every time I give something over to him, Brother Levi, my life is better for it. And I've got a higher level of joy and happiness and peace, and I sleep better at night. Listen, you say, well, there's some doors I'm never going to open. Yeah, well, how you doing? Now, let me ask you, how you doing? How happy are you? How much joy do you have? How much victory do you have? When's the last time your life made any difference in anybody else's life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, folks, I don't know what's wrong with us as human beings. We let the devil convince us that the more we give Jesus, the more miserable we're going to be. But the honest truth is, it's just the opposite. The more you give Jesus, the more happy you are. And so you know what? Just go through the house and start throwing all the doors open. And then when you think you got them all open, say, Lord, you know, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because, you know, God even knows, the Bible says, our secret faults. Sometimes we don't even know things we haven't given to God. I've reached a point several times in my Christian life where I felt like, well, I think that's all of it. And then an evangelist will come in, or I'll go to a revival meeting, and next thing I know, I start hearing this again. Now, folks, we're done. But if you heard knocking this morning, let me say this. That is proof of how much God loves you. That is not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. That means God's not done with you yet. That means God cares about you. That means God's in the process of making you into something amazing so that he can use you like he's never used you before. Open the door. If you're here this morning and the knocking that you heard or hearing is from the outside, you say, preacher, you talked about in the beginning of this how much God loves us and he'll keep knocking. And if we're not saved, preacher, that's the honest truth. I mean, if I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. I mean, I don't. And this isn't the first time that I've heard God knock in my life. And you know what? What's he want? He wants to save you. He wants you to come to heaven with him one of these days. He wants to forgive all your sins. He wants to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants to have a father-son relationship with you for the rest of your life. And he wants to give you a promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's a pretty good deal. Why don't you just open the door? Just open the door. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord. Thank you for being faithful, Lord. Thank you for knocking many times, much longer than you should have had to knock. And Lord, I prayed at the beginning of this service, Lord, that if anyone were to come to church today and did not know you as their personal Savior, were not 100% sure that they're on their way to heaven, Lord, I prayed for them. You know I did. I pray for them again now. I know what it's like to walk into a church lost. I know what it's like to sit in a church and hear the knocking. Feel the Holy Spirit of God convict me of my sin and urge me to the Savior. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the day where I just threw the door open and said, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. If there's someone here today, Lord, that's never been saved, I pray, dear God, they understand they're amongst friends. People are praying for them. And I pray, Lord, that you would use, please, dear God, this invitation time in their life to bring them to Christ. I would pray also that, Lord, we as Christians would be tender. Say, preacher, it's just a little box. It's just a small closet. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that no matter what we try to, how we try to, Lord, close our ears to the knocking, what we try to do to justify not opening that, I pray, Lord, we just set all that aside and trust you and say, Lord, if this is what you want, then you ought to have it. You did everything. You gave everything for me. How can I deny you anything in my life? Help us, Lord, as we have our invitation. Make us tender. We pray in Jesus' name.